Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. I'm Marzieh Hashemi coming to you from Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, 15 months since the victory of the Egyptian revolution, and the people of this ancient country continue to take to the streets to try to reach their demand. Many feel that in name there was a revolution, but the remnants of the old regime continue to keep the people from reaching their main goals, even via elections, as some major candidates have been disqualified, whereas a former Mubarak official has been qualified.
In Cairo, protesters were out on the streets after camping out near the defense ministry overnight to push for their revolutionary demands.
We came here yesterday to complete the demands of the revolution and to bring down the military council, because the military council spoiled the political landscape as soon as it came to power to rule the country and the people. The military council has done nothing for us so far. There are no reforms. The military council betrayed the revolution and the Egyptian people.
The protesters demanded the dissolution of the Presidential Election Commission. They consider the electoral law unjust, as it's failed to safeguard the nation's demands for change. Anger's been mounting since the Election Commission announced its final list of 13 candidates for presidency after disqualifying 10 hopefuls. The demonstrators are furious at the commission's decision to disqualify two Islamic candidates from running in next month's vote, while reinstating remnants of the former regime. The Muslim Brotherhood's main candidate, Khairat al-Shatir, and another Islamic candidate were banned from the race. The decision was made despite the Brotherhood's large win in parliamentary elections last year.
What we need is to topple the army rule and to form a coalition government of national salvation. We need to bring down the government of Al-Ghanzouri, which has done nothing for us so far. We need to complete the targets of our revolution. No one in Egypt is persuaded by the commission of rigging, I mean the High Commission for Presidential Elections.
The protesters want senior officials from the deposed regime of Hosni Mubarak to be banned from running for president. Suspicions over the army's intentions were fueled after the Electoral Commission reversed its decision and ruled that former Prime Minister Ahmed Shafiq can run in the vote. Shafiq was named Prime Minister in the final days of Mubarak's rule last year as he battled the popular uprising. The decision to ban candidates and allow former regime members to take part in the contest has raised fears that the junta is plotting to stick to power by installing its own president. But anti-junta demonstrators say they'll keep up their protests until their demands are met.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program from Cairo, an Egyptian presidential candidate, Mr. Abdullah Al-Ashal. Welcome to the program.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And from London, political editor Al-Quds Al-Arabi, Mr. Khaled Al-Shami. Thank you for being with us. Well, let's start off in Cairo. Mr. Al-Ashal, why does it appear that there is a big gap in what the Egyptian people want and the reality of the government that they have?
Yes, I think this government is added to the chain of governments which had been formed after the revolution. And all the governments, in fact, were not responding positively to the demands of the revolution. Many situations had been, in fact, deteriorating. And I don't see any reason at all to make any progress in Egypt after the revolution, except so far as the people are suspecting very much in the wishes and the plans of those who are governing Egypt. This is why the people are again in the Military Council. They are trying to change the government, but the Military Council wanted to have the parliament for the Islamists and the majority, and to have the government for himself. So the separation between the government and the parliament is unique in Egypt only. So if the Military Council wants everything to be effective, I think he should, the military council and the his government should respond to the wishes of the parliament. And you see that we have this tricks between the rat and the cat now, between the military council and the parliament. And I think that the higher or the supreme committee for elections, in fact, are very much tied to the wishes of the Military Council. This is why we can see that things are not going properly in Egypt, and we need a new government. But to my mind, new government now is not enough, because we don't have to change the government after 1 month. We have to stay and to wait till the president is elected, if any president has to be elected anymore. And if in this case the president is coming, normally from those who are now appearing on the list, the 13 candidates, I think in this case he is going to form the government, because the president, according to the constitutional declaration, has the power to form the government. So if, even if we have a coalition government now, and the power of the government is invested in the hands of the Military Council, so we are going to repeat ourselves, and we are going also to create a very bad image for the new government, which is formed by the parliament.
Okay. Let me get Mr. Al-Shami in on this. It seems extremely complicated now. So there is going to be elections, but yet the Constitution hasn't really been changed. So even the role of the president hasn't exactly been defined. How do you see all of this? Isn't it kind of working a little backwards? Or what's your take on it?
Yes, you are absolutely right. This is a very complicated scene here. It's true, we don't have a constitution. It's very unlikely we'll have one before the presidential elections. Moreover, there is a severe conflict between the government and the parliament at the moment. The parliament is expected to sack the government in the next couple of days or so, so which means that we may not even have a government during the election. But let's put things in context. Egyptian people have established their right to protest peacefully and achieve their political goals. They have toppled three governments in the last 15 months by demonstrating against them, and that's of Nazif, Shafiq, and Sharaf. While this elected parliament has been struggling to get rid of this government for weeks now, the Egyptian people are going to elect for the first time in history their president in an election that we hope is going to be free and fair. Moreover, that new president could be an Islamist. Egypt could have an Islamist president in a month or so. This is huge development that not only going to change things in Egypt, but in the region.
Okay.
So the Egyptian people are struggling, and those people you mention in your report who are demonstrating against the defense ministry are the supporters of the Salafi candidate, ex-candidate Hazem Salah Abu Ismail. They are demonstrating in front of the Ministry of Defense, very sensitive part of the capital, and they are still allowed to do that as long as they do it peacefully.
Okay.
Egypt
well,
has
let me
changed.
Let me get our next guest in on this discussion, editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Mr. Abiyami Azakiwi from Detroit. Thank you so much for being with us. How do you see it? Now, our guest in London, Mr. Al-Shami, said that hopefully the Egyptians will be having free and fair elections. But I want to go back, first of all, to those candidates who have been qualified. We have, on the one hand, a former Mubarak regime official who has been qualified, and then we have political prisoners who were against the Mubarak regime that have not been qualified. So how likely is everything going to be free and fair in your perspective?
Well, it appears to be a very vigorous debate that is going on inside of Egypt right now, leading up to these presidential elections. We have the entry yesterday of Mr. Mohamed El-Bardeh, who has formed a new political party, the Constitution Party. It appears as if he's trying to present a viable alternative to the Islamists and the Salafists, who are very active at this point. Also, we have to recognize that there's a tremendous amount of opposition to Mr. Shafiq and also Amir Moussa because of their connections with the Mubarak regime. So it's going to be a very vigorous political struggle that's going to take place over the next several days. The situation there appears to be very volatile. Yesterday, we had the demonstrations that took place in several parts of the country. At the same time, the more radical secular elements in many of the cities did not participate in those demonstrations because they saw it as being exclusively in support of the Salafist candidates and also the other candidates of the Freedom and Justice Party inside of Egypt. So I think, and I agree with the other two journalists, that this is a very complicated situation that's going on, and it's a very fluid political reality that's going on right now in Egypt. But it's very positive from the standpoint that people are given the opportunity to organize, to reorganize, to form coalitions. These coalitions are shifting. And it's a very interesting political atmosphere to observe because, first of all, there are a lot of other variables that are involved as well. Egypt's relations with the State of Israel, of course, is going to be very important in light of the recent cancellation of the agreement for the supply of natural gas to Egypt, to Israel from Egypt, and also the recent controversy involving Saudi Arabia, where there have been demonstrations outside of Saudi embassy as well. So the economic factor, the international relationships between Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and Israel and Egypt, and also the United States is going to be also important in determining the coalitions and also the character of the upcoming government that should be a result of these elections that will take place next month.
Okay, Mr. Al-Ashad, let's look at the role of the ruling junta. Now, do you expect the ruling junta to go with that change of power, basically? Do you expect that they will go along with what they're supposed to do and step down when they should? Or do you see perhaps what is being set up as a possibility, for example, to having certain candidates who were part of the Mubarak regime as a way in order to get them to hold on to power?
Yes, as you see, the Egyptian scene now is divided into two camps. The first camp is those who are representing the revolution and the independence of Egypt from the foreign domination. The other camp is representing Mubarak regime. So those who are representing Mubarak regime receive a lot of money from abroad. They are expending extensively, and they are buying the votes of the people, and they are coming and determined to get back the regime and to rebuild the regime once more. This is why the people are demonstrating against them, and they want, in fact, to dismiss them totally from the scene. But because the Military Council is not helpful in this way, and even the law which had been enacted is now controversial between the Military Council and the people, so they are not going to be dismissed from the scene. They are coming very strongly to the scene to buy the votes. And at the same time, the Election Commission has total power and no appeal on any of its decisions. So we won't be wondering if one of the Mubarak remnants is going to be declared the president by the estimation of the commission itself, without any appeal on its role. And in this case, this would be the signal for a second revolution in Egypt, because it's not a matter of democracy. It's a matter of, in fact, forfeiting the government, the people. So the other camp, in fact, is trying to be united, but they are not united at all. In any case, if you gauge or you put a rule according to what happened in the legislative elections, you will see that the majority had been given to the Islamist powers. And this is fair, because the Islamist powers represent the majority of the people itself. But in fact, we need a president who is not classified at all, who is going to work for the whole country, not for any of the of the wings of the Islamic or non-Islamic.
Well, Mr. Lashan, with all due respect, how likely is that to happen, not just in Egypt, but anywhere, that you're talking about a candidate, for example, he's coming or she's coming from a certain party, but you're saying not representing particular interests, but just representing the whole of the nation. Of course, most candidates would say that they represent all of the Egyptians or whatever people, but in reality, don't they all have their own political agendas?
Yes, I think we have two political agendas only. We have one for the independence of Egypt and the other for the maintaining the subjugation of Egypt to the United States, Israel, and some Arab states around us,
okay,
who were, in fact, very active in giving money to them.
All right, let me turn to London, get Mr. El-Shami back in on this. How likely do you think that these elections will really be free and fair?
Well, as I said, this is what we hope, but on the ground, there are reasons that make us believe so. First of all, the ruling military council is really keen to leave the political scene. After all the atrocities and all the blame he got in the end after this transitional period. And the technical part of the elections this time is different. The counting the votes is going to happen in each poll station. The boxes are not going to be moved around. This is where usually falsification of the elections happen. They change the. This time, the result is going to be announced in each poll station.
You feel that safeguards have been implemented in order to ensure that this is a fair election?
Yeah, to some extent. And also, there are some reasons that actually related to the race itself. Mr. Amr Moussa is the front runner at this point. It is true that some people are linking him to Mubarak era, and he has a video on the YouTube in 2010 saying that he would vote for Mubarak if he runs again. But it's also true that he has benefited from presenting himself as a popular candidate. And many people in Egypt still remember that he was critical to Israel, and Israel hated him, and this gave him a kind of popularity in Egypt. Moreover, Mr. Amr Moussa is a part of the establishment. The military council will be able to do business with him as a president. And in my opinion, he could be the candidate that they really hope he is going to win the elections. And therefore, they have no problem with handing over power in time, if possible. Up to now, we don't know what's going to happen. Elections have been like full of surprises. We have no idea what could happen tomorrow.
Okay. But, all right. Well, Mr. Azikiwe, let me get you back in on this. Mr. Azikiwe, how likely do you think that foreign hands are involved in trying to make sure that there's a certain amount of chaos on the ground in Egypt?
Well, we know that the United States government is very much concerned about the political future of Egypt. There's a lot at stake. The U.S. has a lot of investments in Egypt in regard to the military apparatus there. We also have to look at the economic status of the military inside of Egypt. They play a very important role in the overall political economy of the country. And I don't think that the military officials there are going to cede total authority to any civilian government without a protracted struggle that is waged by a broad coalition of forces inside of Egypt itself. Then, of course, we have to look at the role of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, which are watching the situation very closely as well, because they themselves, being monarchical regimes, are very much opposed to any type of popular mass movement that may arise in those states themselves. If they see a situation in Egypt where there's real, genuine democracy on a grassroots level, It's definitely a political threat to Saudi Arabia and the other states in the Gulf. So I think definitely the U.S., the State of Israel, Saudi Arabia are very much concerned and very much watching and trying to influence developments that are going on inside of Egypt itself. And that is why I believe we're seeing this hostility that is appears to be directed towards a human rights attorney from Egypt who has been convicted in absentia in Saudi Arabia over apparent insult to the Saudi monarchy. I think this is clearly related to the concern of the Saudi monarchy in regard to developments inside of Egypt itself. So I definitely believe that external forces are going to continue to try to influence the political direction of the elections and also the alliances that are constantly changing and shifting inside of Egypt.
Well, Mr. Al-Ashal, how do you see it? If external forces, if you agree with our previous guest's statement, if external forces are trying to influence what's going on in Egypt, do you think that certain entities would even allow, let's say, a candidate who is would definitely make relations, let's say, between Egypt and Israel basically null and void, or at least a lot less friendly than they had been under the Mubarak regime?
I think Amr Moussa was pretending to be critical to Israel because, as you know, Mubarak was the strategic asset for Israel. And there is a contradiction between this statement made by the Israelis and the pretension of Amr Moussa to be critical under Mubarak regime itself. All Mubarak regime was working for Israel and against the Egyptian interests. And this is a game that Mr. Amr Moussa is trying to sell to the Egyptian people. But in fact, they cannot take it. Anyhow, Amr Moussa and others are supported by other forces outside Egypt. And many states like Israel and the United States wish that Amr Moussa or Ahmed Shafiq or any others should be the leaders of Egypt because they don't want to change anything in Egypt. Egypt, in fact, has a crucial point. Egypt is not independent at all. Egypt is a colony. So this is why we want Egypt to be independent. This is the fruit of the revolution. And all what is happening now is that the Egyptian people want a government elected by the people, no matter what, and to be, in fact, leading to the independence of the Egyptian decision.
Okay.
So this is very simple. Before the independence, you cannot imagine any reconstruction inside Egypt itself.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We are out of time. I appreciate all of you being with us. From Cairo, Egyptian presidential candidate, Mr. Abdullah Al-Ashal. From London, political editor of Al-Quds Al-Arabi, Mr. Khalid Al-Shami. And from Detroit, editor of Pan-African Newswire, Mr. Abayomi.
Thank you very much.
And we thank you, viewers, also for being with us. And join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow for another close-up look at one of tomorrow's top headline stories. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.